You have your Bibles today, open up to Galatians, the book of Galatians. Today we're going to be in the book of Galatians, looking at Galatians chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Galatians chapter 5. We'll be looking at verse 1, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. The title of today's sermon is Freedoms We Enjoy, Freedoms We Enjoy. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. God's word says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Let us bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer today. God, we thank you, Lord, for the country that you've blessed us with. We thank you, God, for the place that we live. God, we thank you for the soldiers, the men and women that have fought to protect, Lord, our country, Lord, and to give us the rights that we have today in our country. Lord, we thank you for all their families, Lord, that go through trouble and suffering, Lord, as they miss their loved ones. God, we pray for all those soldiers that are present and those who had passed on and those who had served, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord, for what America had been built as, Lord. And God, we praise you in hopes, Lord, that America will once again return to its glory state, God. Yes. Lord, I know that you're not done with us and you're not done with America yet, Lord. So God, we just bring our country to you in prayer today, Lord, asking, Lord, that you would gather Christians of all places of America, Lord, that would come together, whether they be military soldiers, Christian soldiers, or other people that just believe in you, Lord, and really start living their lives to you, Lord. Something that would be amazing, Lord. A revival that would take place all over America, God. And we would once again become that great country that we were founded as. God, we believe in you, we trust in you, and we thank you, Lord. And as we celebrate this day of independence, God, I know, Lord, that while most of us come with happy hearts, looking forward to joy, God, we know that there's people, Lord, that struggle on celebrating this day. The fireworks may remind them of bombs going off, being shot over their head, or gunfire. And Lord, I pray for those people that have PTSD, those people that are going through rough times, God. And I pray, God, that you would just comfort them, Lord, as some people celebrate while others, Lord, have deep remembrances of what took place, God, when they were serving, Lord. God, help us all the way that you know how, God. You know every heart in here, Lord. And we thank you for every blessing that we have because all good gifts come from you. Lord, thank you again for letting us live in America. Thank you for letting us freely worship you. And thank you, Lord, for letting your son die on the cross for our sins. So, God, someday we can be reunited with you and live in heaven forever. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So this weekend we celebrate our independence. We celebrate our independence from Great Britain, which is exciting. And we celebrate the freedoms that we have in America. How many people are glad to be an American today? Are you glad to be an American? You know, you could be born in any other country, but praise God, you were either born here or you came here. America is a good place, a good place. And while we celebrate this Independence Day, I still believe that we are one of the most blessed nations on the entire planet Earth. And so I could tell you that I know today is going to be a day where sermons are preached all over the United States. They're going to be preached all over the United States about things like America is in dire straits. We need to turn back now and come to the Lord. People are going to say Jesus' second coming is closer than it's ever been before. People are going to say that if we don't repent and get right with God, then America has no hope. And while I agree with all those messages and while all those things are true, God didn't give me a message today of doom and gloom. God gave me a message of glory and happiness that America can return again to its great glory. And there's no sense in giving up on America or giving up on people in our lives today. So today I'm going to talk about some of the freedoms we have in America through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and from the American soldiers. Franklin D. Roosevelt, he said it like this: "In the truest sense, freedom cannot be bestowed. It must be achieved." And folks, that's exactly what took place in July of 1776. Our freedom was achieved. Freedom from oppression, freedom from tyranny, and freedom from Great Britain. On July 2nd of 1776, that's 241 years ago. Our country's not that old. Only 241 years ago, 13 colonies voted on a resolution of independence. And on July 4th, the Declaration of Independence was signed, and we became our own country. Praise God for America. America is a place that is still going through tough times, as you know, though. It's a place that we're still fighting for our freedoms. We're still fighting this war on terror. We're still fighting for the great values that America was built upon. But we're also giving thanks for the blessings that we have, like the freedom of religion. We can get together here in America and worship freely, whether it be at one another's house, whether it be at a church, whether it be outside in a park. We can visit and worship freely, and we praise God for those things, and we praise our soldiers for those things. We have the right to bear arms here. We have the freedom of speech here, and we have our American soldiers to thank for all those precious freedoms that we still enjoy today. There are some people here who may have fought in Vietnam. Some that may have fought in one of the world wars. Some that might have fought in the Korean War. Others that have been involved in Desert Storm or the Gulf War. And there are still some here today that are fighting the war on terrorism. If you presently are serving or you've ever served in the military, would you please stand so that we could appreciate you today? Praise the Lord. Let's give these guys a round of applause. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to live in the United States of America. I'm thankful to enjoy the freedoms that so many people have worked for and served for, and some have even died for. And I'm thankful to live in a country that was founded upon the best book that was ever written, and that's this book, the Bible. So praise God for America. Long live America, and long live the Christians. Praise the Lord. God's word's alive, folks. Regardless of what you see on the news, America is still alive, and we still are one of the most blessed nations. And the reason we're a blessed nation is not just because of the American soldiers, but it's also because of the Christian soldiers. Listen to what God says in Psalm 33:12. It says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. Because you have chosen to serve God, because you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because you continue to worship the Lord, our country is also blessed." So, boy, we have a lot of things to thank God for in America. And just like we celebrate the 4th of July, we celebrate our independence from Great Britain. Today, we also celebrate the freedoms that Christ has given us. When over 2,000 years ago, he gave his life for our sins so that we could be with him in eternity. So today, I want to share with you three freedoms that we get through Jesus Christ. One, the freedom from worry. Two, the freedom from sin. And three, the freedom of choice. Those are the three things that I want to talk about today. But before I even get to those freedoms, I have a question for you today. How many people in our congregation, and think about this, really trust in the Word of God? Not just read it as a book or a novel, but really believe every word in this book is true. If you believe in all your heart that this is a true book, that God gave it to us so that we could be closer to Him, so that we could live for Him, would you please stand today? Now, while you're standing, you might say, "Well, Pastor, why did you even ask a question like that? We're in a church, of course we believe in the Word of God." Well, the reason I wanted to ask you to stand today is because I want to give you the opportunity to stand up for what you believe in. If you believe in this book, it's time to stand up for what you believe in. So now we know you believe in God's Word. We know you trust in God's word, so we're going to look at the freedoms that you say you believe in. You may be seated. First, we're going to talk about the freedom of worry. You said you believed it. You said you trusted in it. So first, we're going to talk about the freedom of worry. You know, I've heard somebody tell me, "You can't be a Christian and also worry." And I said, "Boy, you know, That's a great thing, because you're not supposed to worry if you're a Christian. You're supposed to trust." But how many Christians do we have today that have some worry in their life? Wouldn't it be great if you could be free from worry? If you didn't have to worry about anything anymore, you didn't have to worry about your grandsons, your children, you didn't have to worry about your job, you didn't have to worry about selling your house or paying your bills, you didn't have to worry about anything. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Well, what if I told you today you could have the freedom from worry? And the way you can have that freedom is because you stood and you said you believed in this book. Now, if you don't believe in this book, you have no chance. You don't have any freedom from worry. You don't believe in our Lord and Savior. You're not going to have freedom from worry. But if you do believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you do believe in the words of this book, then you can have freedom from worry. I want you to see with yourself. If you have your Bibles today, I want you to open up to Matthew chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6. You may want to underline some things in here. You may want to highlight some things, crinkle your page to get your attention later. But this is the book you said you believe in, that you trust in. And let's see what God has to say about freedom from worry. Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 25. It says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the valley, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Here's the key. Instead of worrying, do this. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things, sufficient for the day of its own troubles." Folks, if you believe in this book, if you trust in God's word, and you stood up for it, you should be able to be free from worry. You should be able to have that freedom we're talking about. If God takes care of the food for the birds, don't you think he'll take care of you, Sister Lorene? Absolutely. What about you, Brother David? If God takes care of the birds, won't he take care of you? Amen. Why will he do that? Well, because he says he will. If you believe it, you trust in it, that's what he'll do. If God takes care of the clothes of the flowers, do you think he'll take care of your clothing needs, Brother George?
Yeah.
Yeah, he will. What about yours, Sister Alva? You think God will take care of your needs? Absolutely he will. God knows everything, the scripture says, before we even ask of it. Isn't it about time that we start enjoying the blessings from this book? Isn't it about time we stop worrying about things, we stop struggling over things, and we just give it to Jesus? All of it, whatever it is. Folks, we got to be free from worry and free to start trusting in our Lord and Savior. Trust in the words you stood for. Trust in the Bible and believe in the Word. If you want to be free from worry, all you got to do is ask God. Seek Him and trust Him. If you want to be free from worry today, let me hear you say, "Help me, Lord."
Help me, Lord.
Amen. Let's enjoy this blessing that God gave us. Lord, help us to have more faith. Help us to have more trust. Help us to believe in the word you've given us today. The second freedom I want to talk to you about is the freedom Christ has given us from sin. Galatians 5:1 says it like this: "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Church, that message I shared last week about breaking those chains that were holding you back, about getting rid of everything that hinders us and so easily entangles us, Reminds me of a spider web. If you ever walked out of your house or you're walking through the woods, you had a spider web that was on you, you probably didn't just keep walking. You probably looked and you're moving around your face and you're brushing off yourself. You don't want that spider biting you or getting on you. And God wants us to do that same thing with our sin and those things that hinder us. And so we got to get those things off. I'll tell you, the devil tries to trick us. And he tries to tell us things like this. He says, you're never going to stop giving into that temptation. You're never going to stop. He says, you'll never stop sinning. You know that beloved country you just sang about? America? It's going downhill. You've seen the news. You people aren't even worthy of saying by God or anybody else. Look at you, your sinful, selfish lives. America will never be the country it was founded as. That's what Satan wants you to believe. But I, and more importantly, God, he completely disagrees with the devil. What does Satan know anyway? Satan's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. So Satan wins a couple battles here and there. So Satan wins the battle where maybe there's no reading in public schools anymore because it's prohibited. Sure, maybe Satan helped take the prayer out of our public schools like you saw back in 1962. Sure, the posting of the Ten Commandments is prohibited in many public places now. Sure, abortion is allowed in America now thanks to the Roe versus Wade case. Sure, there's a majority of states in our union that have legalized same-sex marriage, and only a few that are standing on to what marriage really means according to the Bible, with one man and one woman joining together as one flesh. Yes, ISIS is on the rise. Yes, terrorism on the rise. Sure, there's children living in more broken homes than ever. Yes, there's liars and adulterers and thieves. And that's what Satan wants you to believe, that that's all we have. But that's just not true. It's not too late for America, folks. And it's not too late for you. Because God's word says in Colossians 1, 13 and 14, it says, he, meaning Jesus, has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus came down over 2,000 years ago on that cross to do what? Who knows? Anybody know what Jesus did on that cross? That's right, he died for our sins, didn't he? And if he died for our sins and he took those sins away from us, why do we keep picking them back up? Why? He gave us freedom from sin. We don't have to sin any longer. You're free from sin. You're free from temptations. You can be free, free, free. But you have to make the decision. Again, it comes back to, do you believe in this book? Do you trust in what this book says? If you do, enjoy the freedom from sin. You want America to be great again? The Bible tells us how to do that too. It's amazing what you can learn reading this thing. 2 Chronicles 7:14-15. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. He'll forgive our sin and heal our land. Hey, that sounds like a great deal, right? All we have to do is what? Humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. Well, that doesn't sound so hard. Well, if it doesn't sound so hard, why aren't the Christians in America doing it? Something to think about. Many Christians I talk to, they look at me and they say, Pastor, I appreciate all that hope you have that America's going to turn around. There's going to be a great revival. And you believe in the good in people. That's great. But I think it's over. I think it's time for judgment. And you know, I look at those people and say, have you read the book of Judges? It's a pretty interesting book. You might want to check that out. You read the book of Judges, because it's interesting that if you look in the Old Testament, you'll know that God would rather forgive than judge. God wants to forgive and restore. He doesn't want to have to judge. Over and over, Israel would turn their backs on him. But they'd repent, God would forgive them of their sins, and they'd come back home. God turned around the nation of Israel many times, and he can turn around America. I believe that with all my heart. But it's up to us, Christians. We have to seize the initiative. We don't need to be pointing our finger at other people that are non-believers. We don't need to point our fingers at those people we think are rebellious Christians. Hello, we may fit in that same category. But we don't need to be pointing our fingers at them. What we need to do is turn from our wicked ways, repent, and seek God's face. And we got to stop pointing fingers at other people and believe that, you know what? You know why America's in the shape it's in? Because the believing Christians aren't doing what they're supposed to do. That's what my Bible says. So if we do what we need to do, God will do what God needs to do. We're God's people, and it's our job to turn America around. He's delivered us from sin, and we have freedom from sin. So let's enjoy that freedom that God's given us. Let's have some freedom from worry today. Whatever you're worried about, lay that stuff down. Give it to God. Trust in Him. It's over. When we have that altar call, or you could do it right now, say, God, I don't want that anymore. I'm done with it. Take it from me. It's yours. And that freedom from sin, whatever sin that's entangling you, that's tying you up, that's holding you down, Christ died on the cross so that you didn't have to bear that sin. So give it up. Just give it up. The third blessing I want to talk, or freedom that God has given us, is the hard one. It's the freedom of choice. The power of choice is one of the greatest freedoms we have as human beings. And that freedom came from the Lord. He created us in His image. You know, God didn't create us as robots where we had to love, we weren't forced, where we had to do everything God wanted us to do. He didn't create us as robots. He didn't create us forced to live and to worship only Him. We have the freedom to decide. We have the freedom to choose. But you know, whatever choices you make in life, your decision has an impact. It has an impact that can be positive or an impact that can be negative. Take a simple decision like, where are we going to eat after church? Well, that's a big struggle for our church. Where are we going to eat after church? Well, if you eat in a bad place, you get bad service, you get bad food, and you might even get food poisoning. But if you eat in a good place, you might get good service and good food. Simple decision. Then God gives you the power of choice for harder decisions. Like, what are you going to do when you grow up? Has anybody grown up, by the way? Yeah. So you still got time to figure that out. What are you going to do when you grow up? Who are you going to marry? Are you going to have children or not have children? Are you going to go to college, not have college? What kind of job do you want to do? God gives us those decisions. And whatever we choose has an impact. Again. Then we have the decision of whether or not we're going to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Whether we're going to believe in this God that we said we stood up and trusted in. And so that decision also has an impact. The problem is that impact isn't just for here. That's an internal decision. And as an eternal decision, it not only affects you for the 10, 20, 80, 90, 100 years you live here on earth, but it affects you for all of eternity. You see, what people don't really want to talk about or address today is that all of us have eternal life. We do. You're all going to eternally live somewhere. You got two choices. Anybody ever burned their finger before? Or anything else? Yeah, I don't want to go to that place. Anybody ever got a pay raise? Huh? Anybody ever had that? Yeah, that was a pretty good place to be, right? So you kind of got two choices when it comes down to believing in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can accept Him. You can go to this place called heaven where you get all these great things. You get to meet the person who created you, created the earth. You get to have a new body so you're not walking around all crippled up and hurt and in pain and arthritis and all that stuff. You live forever. Sing and be in the glory of God. Can you imagine what that's going to be like, Brother Ron? Have you ever thought about that?
Oh, yeah.
Or you can go to this other place. The Bible describes it as a place with gnashing of teeth. Anybody ever been bit by a dog? Hurts. Dogs, they have like little baby teeth. Mm-hmm. You ever seen a Tyrannosaurus Rex? I've never seen one of those. I watched Jurassic Park, though. You know, you want to get eaten up by that? That sounds bad. But the other place is not a good place. The other place, the Bible says, is a lake of eternal fire with the gnashing of teeth. So you got two choices. Both have an impact. You can decide what you want to do. God gave you that privilege. It's one of the blessings and one of the freedoms he gave you. Matthew 25, 31 through 46 says it like this. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the Father will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You'll go to heaven. Then he said to those on the left, depart from me, you are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will have eternal life. Freedom of choice is up to you. God's given us a couple great freedoms. Freedom from worry, freedom from sin, and the freedom of choice. It's up to you whether you believe it or not. But many of you stood and said you did believe it. I want to share one more thought as I close. Today we celebrate America's independence. Tonight we're going to have fireworks at 8:30. It's going to be raining maybe. I hope not. But if it does, you're going to see us out there still trying to light these fireworks off and shelter them. And who knows what, it'll be even more exciting probably. But as we celebrate America's independence, you know, we should think about and be thankful for the soldiers and the blessings they provided us. We should be thankful for their families. They're kind of the unsung heroes. They don't get a lot of attention. They don't get a lot of credit. But without the families, a lot of those soldiers wouldn't be able to do what they do. We should also realize the freedoms that God has given us. The freedom of choice. I get tired of hearing that. The devil made me do it. That's a lie. You know who made you do it? You. You made the decision. God gave you the freedom of choice. You can do good things or bad things. God gave you the freedom of sin. You don't have to sin anymore. So, Pastor, you don't understand how hard it is. Oh, I have things I struggle with. Believe it or not, I lose my temper every once in a while. I might look like a calm, cuddly Pillsbury doughboy, but but he's given us the freedom from sin. And he's given us the freedom from worry. You know, God loves you more than you love yourself. You know that thing you're worrying about right now? He cares about it more than you care about it. God loves every single one of us in this congregation. He wants great things to happen. I'll tell you, the most patriotic thing we can do this 4th of July is not just setting off fireworks, having a great picnic, having a good cookout with our family and friends. It's to learn to realize the blessing that God's given us. Embrace Him and use Him. Live by God's Word. If you haven't spent time in this lately, pick this book up. Spend some time in there. This is what's going to get you through those trials and tribulations. This is what's going to make you laugh and get you through the good times. I even made Ronnie blush one time reading a section out of the Bible. It's great. There's some good stuff in here. You want to ring that Song of Solomon for us again, brother? There's some good stuff in here. But you won't know if you don't get in here. People watch warrior movies today. They watch romance movies today. They watch movies of struggle and strife. It's all in here. Battles. Fierce battles. Bloody battles. If that's your thing, it's in here. Romance is your thing? Open up, look at the book of Ruth. Check out the Song of Solomon. You need some inspiration and some hope and some good wisdom? Open up the Proverbs. You got a friend who's going down the wrong path and they're lost? Show them the answer of what Jesus did for them in Matthew or Romans. This book is amazing. You got to get in there. You want to celebrate the 4th of July like never before? Come and say, God, I want to be one of those people you talk about in 2 Chronicles 7:14. I want to be one of those people when you say, if my people who are called by my name. I want to be one of those people. I want to come up here and I want to pray. And I want to say, God, forgive me of my sins. Heal my land. Help me turn from my wicked ways. That's what I want. And you know the neat thing? Is that since we're celebrating Independence Day, you'll remember for the rest of your life that, you know what? On July 2nd of 2017, I came down here and I told God I was going to get right with him. Now I was really going to live for him. I rededicated my life to him. You'll never forget it because you'll remember with the 4th of July. And when we're out there shooting off fireworks, celebrating the independence, you might look up at those fireworks and be like, yep, there's my freedom from sin right there, baby. Boom, there's my freedom from worry. Boosh, oh, praise the Lord. You might see the 4th of July like a whole new event. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on America. Our fathers founded this nation for the glory of God, based on the rights given to them by God, seeking the blessing of God. And as far as I know, my currency still states, in God we trust. The slogan of America still says, one nation under God. And we still inaugurate our presidents by putting their hand on the Bible and asking them to pledge, so help me God. America has been great because of God, because of Christian soldiers, and because of military soldiers. So let's be faithful. Let's honor God. Let's thank him for our blessings. And if you want to come down today and you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, if you want to come down today and pray for our country, if you want to come down today and say, God, I've been struggling with the sin and this temptation, get it away from me. It's like a spider web. I just can't get it out of my hair. If you want to come down today and say, God, help me, free me from this worry, today's the day to go free. Today's the day of freedom. Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, you are amazing, Lord. It's amazing the things you've done for us. It's amazing the things you've done for our country. God, set us free from whatever is holding on to us right now, God. Help us to enjoy the freedom from sin. Help us to enjoy the freedom from worry. Help us, God, to just to enjoy this freedom of choice. God, we live in a place that's not like anywhere else in the world. God, we can worship you anywhere. We can talk about you anywhere. God, we thank you for that. Lord, but our nation still is in troubled times. It still does face trials and tribulations. We got soldiers all over the world, Lord, that are dying still for America. Lord, thank you for the country we live in. Thank you for the friends and families we have. Thank you for the soldiers that have done so much. Thank you for your promises, Lord, that we can have freedom today. Not just earthly freedom, but eternal freedom. Lord, help us. Help our nation. Help us to become great again. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.